This is Michael Edward Miller for WUTC. The University of Tennessee at Chattanooga's Percussion Ensemble has an annual year-end concert coming up. The concert is called Beat Hunger. It's going to happen on November 24th and November 25th. The fact that it's scheduled for two successive nights is a testament to its popularity. WUTC's Richard Winham is speaking with Monty Coulter, the director of the UTC Percussion Program. Dr. Coulter says the original impetus for the increasingly popular concerts came from seeing homeless people on the streets in the neighborhoods surrounding UTC.
Well, you know, the Fine Arts Center at UTC is at the corner of Vine and Palmetto, and that neighborhood, Oak Street, Vine Street, was not always the neighborhood you now see there. There weren't as many law firms and medical facilities and business places in those old homes. Many of them were vacant. It was not difficult to see homeless people wandering around and trying to find a place to be. And the Salvation Army was a block away. Homeless and hungry people were much more visible in that area of our community than they are now. That was my idea. When you have musicians and they generally perform a concert at the end of every semester to show off what they've been doing and to put a capstone on their work. I didn't have the idea from looking at what somebody else was doing. It really was an original idea, as if any of us ever really have those, to make the end of the semester concert in the fall, since it's going to happen right around Thanksgiving, a time that we all celebrate Thanksgiving by eating delicious food that we prepare, that somebody who loves us prepared, to make that a benefit for the homeless people in the city. And that's not what I do. I don't know how to do that. I'm a musician, and it really just occurred to me to use my gifts and the gifts of my students in a way that would contribute to the community and contribute to the lives of people who weren't as fortunate as we are. I thought of the cheesiest, dumbest title I could think of a something which is a combination drum concert and food benefit. So, you know, I came with the idea, Beat Hunger. Well, get it, drum, and, you know, so Beat Hunger. And I've never really been crazy about the title, but it's too late. It's caught on.
This year's concert marks the 16th year the UTC Percussion Ensemble has been playing a concert to help feed the hungry in Chattanooga. According to Monty Coulter, the popularity of the concerts featuring music like this is a Chattanooga phenomenon. Nothing quite like it happens anywhere else, he said.
The first year we did it, audiences were maybe about 10-12% larger. And the next year, more again. Next year, more again. And about the fifth or sixth year, that we were filling up the concert hall. I mean, I've never filled up. There's not a percussion. You can't go. I mean, I go to other university percussion programs. You can't find one with an audience like this. And I know that it is, not only it's a very good concert, I have to say that I really do think that, but it's also that the people in this city love that program. It's a chance it has an interesting festival kind of atmosphere. And, you know, people bring their whole families. And of course, it's a percussion concert. It's a good one. And so people come there who play percussion and want to see how it's done. But there are also people there who just want to contribute. Chattanooga's filled with people who have that spirit of altruistic behavior, and they want to help the community, and they want to help people. And it's the time of year to be most influenced by those altruistic tendencies, too. And so it really, really has taken off. I couldn't be happier with it. And, you know, a long time ago, I realized that it wasn't really about me. It wasn't really about the percussion ensemble, although it wouldn't happen without us. People are there to see us, but they're there to contribute too. And it's
Monty Coulter's characteristic modesty leads him to downplay his accomplishment, but when I pressed him, he talked about the evolution of the UTC Percussion Ensemble. When he started here at UTC, he said, the percussion ensemble was
barely functioning. They didn't have a meeting time as a class. And so in the sense that I had to come up with a meeting time and figure out when they were going to meet, I guess I kind of created the ensemble as it presently is. And I came up with a good working time, and the students came. The percussion ensemble is what they are, and this is not the case at every university, but here I feel strongly that this is what we do. Since we have a functioning marching band with very good drum line, the percussion ensemble here doesn't need to recreate that because that's already going on. The drum line here is good. The students have a good time. They play very well, and that's a whole thing that they do and they get into. So the percussion ensemble doesn't need to do that. So this is a thoroughly concert group. We don't march. We're not going to march in, not going to march out. They play concert-oriented music, period, in a concert hall, period. When the audiences to Beat Hunger got so large they were almost unmanageable in that concert hall, the suggestion was made that we play in the roundhouse. And I strongly oppose that because I don't want to train musicians to play in a basketball arena.
People who aren't musicians would assume a percussion ensemble is drummers, but in fact it's a lot broader than that, isn't it? You have as many melodic instruments as you do percussion instruments.
That's true. There's the idea that there are percussionists and then there are drummers. I kind of reject that idea because I'm a drummer. I was a drummer first, and the idea of being a percussionist is being some kind of a higher echelon of percussion player. I reject that too. That's not true. Percussion players are drummers, and drummers are percussion players. What I do require, as does every single credible music department in the United States or Canada requires that their percussion majors learn to play everything. I think somebody around here somewhere in the South has a marimba degree, but I don't know why. I don't know what you do with a marimba degree. A university close by has a jazz percussion degree, but even they have to learn to play mallet instruments and drums too. So, and that's why restrict your voice. Why be a musician and cut yourself off at learning something new, some new way to express yourself and to be a musician? That's part of the fun.
So playing a melodic instrument or playing a percussion instrument, you're teaching people not only to be players, but also to be players within an ensemble and to,
right.
and to create a,
right.
an integrated sound.
Right.
And on top of that, you are teaching them to play very complex pieces that you play in the Beat Hunger concerts, which I suspect is one of the reasons people like enjoy the concerts, right? You often, as you said in your email, you're going to do a rock and roll thing this time.
That's right.
You do things.
That?
You do things that perhaps people wouldn't necessarily expect a percussion ensemble to do.
Yeah, you know, Richard, when people go to the program and I encounter them later through an email or telephone call or run into them on campus or downtown, the first thing they say, and this is always the case, absolutely unalterably, the first thing out of their mouth is, it wasn't what I expected. And so I feel good telling people who've never been that, you know, it won't be what you expect, because that's what everybody says first. It won't be what you expect. A number of years ago, my family took a trip to Boston, and we went to see the Blue Man Group. You know, and the Blue Man Group plays this instrument that has various names. It's a series of pipes that's pitched accordingly, and you play it with little rubber paddles, and it gets a kind of a not very ringing, somewhat percussive, but totally pitched effect. And one of the songs they did was a cover version of a Donna Summer song called I Feel Love. And boy, they put a spin on it that, you know, and when I sat there in the hall and heard that, I thought, oh no, I don't have any of those big pipes they've got, but I've got marimbas. And this needs to be a marimba piece. Absolutely has to be. So I came home and scored it out. I didn't change much for marimbas, and I put a drum solo section in there. And then I found, I found a couple of singers who could come in and sing that part. We do it with a rhythm section, a bassist, electric guitarist, and I generally play the drum set. But everything else is marimbas and drums. And so it's I Feel Love, a la the Blue Man Group, a la Donna Summer. And, you know, it's going to remind you of the original, but it is so much fun. I can't imagine anybody hearing that and ever wanting to hear it without all the drums and marimbas in the middle of it ever again. Score it for a professional.
And then you do classical pieces, and, or at least you have done anyway in the past, classical pieces, and you've done inevitably seasonal pieces.
Sure. Other than I Feel Love, this particular year we're doing a piece by Camille Saint-Saëns, the French composer. He wrote a symphony. This is rare. He wrote a symphony with a solo instrument inserted into the orchestra of a pipe organ. And I suppose you could look at it as an organ concerto. That's not what he called it. He called it Symphony Number 3. But, you know, most orchestras don't have a pipe organ laying around, so it's a little bit rare that it gets performed. I heard the London Symphony do it when I was in college. Fantastic piece. So I know that Saint-Saëns was an organist. And what he did was he thought, well, what can the organ do that is unique, or what most shows off capabilities of the organ? Well, the organ can play loud, 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 and the organ can also play long, long sounds. Mm. Doesn't have a bow. It's not blown across by human lungs. It can play long, long sounds. So he wrote a piece, and as he said, the two things he wanted to show off about the organ were its ability to play at times very powerfully, as powerfully as any orchestra, and also long language sounds. Now, for me, the marimba is an instrument that can play short sounds very well, because you hit the bar, you kind of plunk it, and it dies away in just a second or two. Or if you play it right in a certain way with a certain kind of mallets, it can get long, long, long sounds. So we're doing an adagio, the adagio, which is one of the movements from that symphony. I didn't arrange it or transcribe it. It's been transcribed for marimba ensemble, and that's one of the pieces that you'll hear. It is stunning. It's the exact piece for organ and orchestra that Saint-Saëns wrote, with a little bit taken out of the middle to make it shorter. But, I mean, the long, long sounds and the swells and the rise and fall that marimbas can do, you will not believe. It is the current favorite of most of the students in the ensemble. Most of them say, which one of our seven pieces do you like most? Ooh, I like that adagio. I've had several kids, I like that the best. It's the easiest to play. It's not technically challenging terribly, but it has the most powerful musical effect on the listener and on the players too. So that's a thoroughly classical piece that we're playing, a transcription for marimbas, but, so, and, you know, it's not a pop tune. It's a piece that was written as a movement in a symphony quite a while ago by a Frenchman.
This year, the Beat Hunger concerts will be on two nights, this Sunday, November 24th, and this coming Monday, November 25th at 7:30 in the UTC Fine Arts Centre. Admission, as always, is donation of non-perishable foods or a $2 check payable to the Chattanooga Community Kitchen. Funker Bucket will also play in the lobby before the concerts start at 7:30 every evening. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.